Hello and welcome to this message from Charter Oak Church. This week, we'll tackle the topic of the gospel and cancel culture. Simply put, cancel culture refers to the practice of withdrawing support for those in public after they say or do something considered offensive by a certain group. Each of us has said or done something at some point that deserves conversation or perhaps even confrontation. That is undeniable. But Jesus calls us to be people of the towel rather than people of the pitchfork. How can we be more known for what we are for than what we are against? Here's your campus pastor.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see all of you here today. We are in week two of our series called Gospel And. And so through the month of June and July, we are going to be talking about some topics that oftentimes I think we get pulled into and we wrestle with, and where oftentimes we don't know how to respond from a biblical perspective. And so we're just tackling those things head on. So last week, Josiah and I, we talked about grace and truth and how as disciples of Jesus, we're called to be full of grace and full of truth. Not one or the other, but both. And today, Steve Mangus is with us. And so would you welcome Steve?
This is when I'm supposed to introduce myself.
Yeah, right? Steve, would you just share a little bit about yourself?
Sure.
Maybe you don't know Steve. He's a 9 o'clocker, so you don't see him at 11 very often.
Don't judge me.
don't cancel me yet, right?
No. I did grow up in a contemporary church, though. Hello, my name's Steve Mangus. My wife and I and my son Nate, we go to the 9 o'clock service. My wife Carrie, she and I have been married for 21 years this August, and.
Ooh.
Awesome. It's very nice.
That's very good.
Yes, and it's often tell each other. You always say to your wife you're gaga in love, right?
Right.
And you like competition, correct? So I'll just say I'm super gaga in love with my wife.
Oh yeah.
But we've been coming here to church for a few years now, and we started coming here when my son was in fourth grade, and it's been a very, very positive experience for us, and we've really enjoyed being here. And I don't want to forget this because I forgot at 9 o'clock, but I am a teacher. I've been teaching for 22 years. I sometimes forget that. I just show up until somebody tells me not to come anymore. there's my life there a little bit there.
That's very small. Snapshot breaks.
Small.
Yeah. And
small.
And one of the reasons I asked Steve to be a part of this is because we have, since Steve has come to Charter Oak Church, we've been talking, and I think he's a man of prayer and a man of the word, and we may not necessarily agree on everything, but we are iron sharpens iron, as it says in Proverbs, and so he challenges me on things, I challenge him on things, and we really go back and forth, and I think in a healthy, biblical way. And then I was like, if we're going to talk about something tough, a tough topic like the gospel and cancel culture, then I want somebody up here who's a proper handler of God's word, who is not afraid to get after it with me, and so that's why I've asked this.
You're giving me
here.
A little yeah, too right. much credit there.
No, I think you are who you are.
And
here's the thing. Talking about cancel culture, I think, and that's become a buzzword today, a phrase or whatever. But I don't think it's anything new. Right? I mean, there are times that we disagree with people. And for whatever reason in today's culture, now it seems like it's either my way or the highway. Right? We talked about last week how, so many people say, hey, well, if you disagree with me, then you hate me. I'm like, no. Like, you can actually disagree with people and not hate them and not have to cancel them or walk away and be like, hey, you're not my friend anymore. I'm defriending you or unfriending you or whatever it is you do on social media. Like, you don't have to do that. That actually we can disagree and we can have some things that Satan, I think, wants to use as a foothold to divide us, but it doesn't have to. And culture today, we see so many times and we get caught up into it. Like just think of it, just here's two examples of people who've been canceled by culture. So J.K. Rowling, right, wrote the Harry Potter series. And so she came out and she's she said that, hey, this push for transgender rights is actually going to hurt, in her opinion, just women's rights. And whenever she said that, people were like, cancel her. Like, they started contacting her publisher and saying, stop paying her for writing books. Right? I mean, just this very, very kind of mean-spirited thing that was attacking her for her sharing something that she believed. Or for those of you who are Star Wars fans, if you watched The Mandalorian, so there was a woman that was on The Mandalorian, her name is Gina Carano, right? And so she tweeted something, you know, a couple of months ago that Disney fired her for, right? Just, she was sharing her opinion, and just like all of a sudden people are just calling for her head, and we're just like, wow, we get so caught up into this, and it's just, it's so unhealthy. And we live in a society today that, you know, almost it's like we celebrate when someone gets fired or when someone gets canceled. And it's just like, how do we as Christians respond to this? Right? Because, you know, as Christians, I think we're called to be people of the Tao, not of the pitchfork, right? And it's so much easier to be like, hey, we're going to go and we're going to charge, you know, this and go after this person or whatever with a pitchfork. And yet, as Steve said earlier, Pastor Steve said earlier, we're called to actually take up the Tao and serve one another and care for one another. And as we said last week, it's not either or. It's not grace or truth. It's full of grace and full of truth. And so this isn't about, hey, don't stand up for what you believe is right, what the Word of God says is right. We're not saying that at all. Just saying the way that we do it, it matters. It matters as disciples of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in James chapter 3. So if you got your electronic devices, turn to James chapter 3. And this is like one of the, it's a powerful book of the Bible. And it's written by the half-brother of Jesus, right? And so we'll get into that in just a minute about how important it is that we realize that who it is that's writing these words. So Steve, would you read the first 12 verses for us?
Sure. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be so. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Yeah, and so just to give you some quick context of this, so James, he's just said that spiritual maturity develops through our response to suffering. And then he goes on and says our spiritual maturity is enhanced by our response to God's word. And now we get to chapter 3, and we see our spiritual maturity is demonstrated by how we speak, right? And so, as I said just a minute ago, the person who wrote this is James, a half-brother of Jesus. And so the importance of realizing this is, so there was a time in Jesus' ministry where his family says, out of the pool, Jesus. Like, James, his family member, is calling Jesus out. He's saying Jesus was crazy. He was out of his mind, it says. And so James, in writing this, he understands the power of his words, of what he even said about his half-brother, about the Messiah. And so I think that just makes it even more powerful in terms of what he's writing in these words.
Certainly. I mean, you think about a critic of Jesus, his own brother, flesh and blood, later becoming a follower and a disciple, and then even God, in a way, allowing him to be a part of our of His eternal word.
Right.
You know, yeah. part of that. That's just that's really cool. I think that's a really awesome.
And it reminds me. Like, so we're going to look at what James says, what Jesus says, what Paul says. And so like, Jesus, one of the most, for me personally, one of the most convicting things he says that Jesus says in this area is from Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Where he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank of in your own eye? Like, why is that so easy for me? I'll be just talking about me. Why is it so easy to be like, hey, I see the speck in your eye. Here's this little thing, right, that we disagree on or whatever. And I miss the plank of the King James Version, the log in my own eye, right? I can't see it. And so like, there's this realization of our blind spots that all of us have, especially when it comes to our words. I love the analogy that John Piper, he's a pastor, that he uses in just understanding what comes out of our mouths. Listen to this. He says, when as a child, our family physician used to ask us to stick out our tongues. Anybody remember that? Right? He seemed to be able to tell a great deal about our health by looking into our mouths. This is a parable of spiritual reality. What comes out of our mouths is usually an accurate index of the health of our hearts. Wow. Think about that. And what's coming out of our mouths is an accurate indicator of what is in our hearts. And so James uses the two vivid illustrations in verses 3 to 5. He says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small, very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And so, Steve, I wonder, have we forgotten? Do we not realize the like just the influence of our words, our tongue, and just how powerful it is? Have we become accustomed to just the power that it has and not even realizing the destruction that it can,
yield. Yeah, I think certainly, the tongue gives us a revelation of our hearts and maybe how hard our hearts are. Mm-hmm. And but there is an encouraging side to this. If you think about Proverbs 15:4, where it says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes our spirit. And, I think of... With my family in particular, I think I lost my place here for a second. Sorry. With my family in particular, Pastor Chris made the comment last week about his son being grounded for a year, and I'm a math teacher, so my son's been grounded to infinity probably a few hundred times. So we have those times where we slip up and when we make mistakes, and. One of the things that I love about when Pastor Chris does this is he points out words, the English word, but he brings it back to the Greek word. And you'd mentioned that where you look at the last part of James 3:6, and it says, and the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and so forth. And it's set on fire by hell. And that word hell there, and again, I'm not a theologian, so you know the Greek better than me. I struggled in English, so that was all Greek to me as well. But anyway, the Greek word there is Gehenna, which was a place that was outside the city.
Of Jerusalem.
Yeah. And it was always on fire. And they burned their garbage there. They burned their bodies there. And so when we think about that, when he's saying it's from the fire, our tongues are like a fire from hell, it does make me think about even in my job with my students, a lot of conflict. I mean, the kids have had a rough year this last year, and a lot of conflict in this environment comes a lot from these things here and with social media and different things like that. And so a lot of it starts there, and then we can sometimes see it escalate into the schools. And so for me, I'd like to try to see kids kind of use a bit better philosophy. Like if you and I, when we were in college at IUP, I went to IUP as well. I probably have some stories too, but I'm so fortunate that we didn't have cameras on us. Right. You know, that would have been tough. We would have had a big VHS camera that you would have had to carry around to do that.
I don't know what a VHS is.
Don't play games. You know. Sorry, it would have been an 8mm, right?
Right.
Did it have sound? but anyway, I think in our generation, my Gen Xers here, we were fortunate that we could make mistakes and nobody filmed them. But your kids, your grandkids, they're making mistakes and people are there with the camera. Hmm. And so we talked about serving, and I think sometimes we need to maybe put the camera down and just reach out there and say something encouraging, which was helpful for me because we met on Tuesday, then Wednesday was my last day of school. And a couple students, they wrote me a couple notes just to as a word of encouragement. And I read one of the ones in the first service, but this was one that really touched me because I had it up all day on my desk there. And it said, haha, it's been one heck of a year with COVID. Everything got thrown into the air, no direction for months to come. Through it all, you overcame and rose up without a care in the world and trudged forward. And there's more to it, but that was just really encouraging. Those are things that I can get. I love those things for my students when they get that. And my wife was mentioning how she keeps a folder with these, that she gets these just to pull them out anytime something's just, you're having a bad day or whatever like that. And I just think that's a great thing to do. You right. Said something like that, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I mean, most of the complaining I get now is through email. every once in a while, there'll be a letter that's generally not signed that when they want to tell me what they really think about me or decision or whatever. And so I was told very early on by a few older pastors to just like create a folder that whenever somebody sends you a note like what Steve just shared, like stick it in there. And so whenever you're getting beat up and beat up and beat up, like just go to that folder and just read something encouraging that someone wrote, because that's, you know, sometimes that's the only thing that you can do. And I know that James here is just really, he's calling us out with our words. But the reality is, you know, when you get these notes, it reminds us that our words also can be life-giving. They can be a tree of life. Just think about what that looks like for you to be a tree of life in the relationships that you have in your everyday, ordinary lives. I mean, I know you do something with
Nate. Actually, thanks for bringing it back there for me.
Yeah.
actually, when we first started coming here, my son was in fourth grade, and we came when you were doing, I believe, a sermon series, maybe just one sermon on marriage and the husband and his role in that. And one verse that stuck out to me at that point was, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And then furthermore, we were mentioning about, you know, our snapping at our kids or something like that. But I remember another verse that came across in Ephesians 6:4, where it says, fathers, don't provoke your sons to anger. And so one way I sometime after that, I started doing this thing for my wife and son where I do these little index cards for them. And I just grabbed these, actually. They were sitting on the shelf at home this morning, and I grabbed them off of there. And these were the ones that I wrote for my son for the last week of school. But each day during the school year, I write them a little verse, and I kind of write them a little note. Maybe it's something, a biblical commentary or whatever it might be. Right. Maybe I'm trying to pass on something wise. And
that's good.
But I just feel like that's a way for me to live out that call to be a husband that loves his wife as Christ loved the church, and to not provoke my son to anger, and to give him something of encouragement for that day. And so it's been positive, I think, and I think they enjoy it when they get those cards.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the alternative is, and we talked about this last summer, if you were with us last summer when we were worshiping outside, we did a series called Don't Drink the Poison. You remember that, right? And we said we live, you know, in a society that's very offended. Like we almost live offended, and right, and then we get angry and we respond, we cancel people, and what we do is we drink poison. We drink the poison of that cancel culture, and we expect the other person to die, right? And it doesn't work that way. And so I think this is why James is helping us to see the importance of the words that we use as disciples of Jesus. And so he calls it out. He says, look, you do two different things here. Look at verses 9 to 12 again. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And so James is like, look, come on. You can be in a worship service like this, and we can be singing Cornerstone, right? Like raising our hands, praising our Heavenly Father, which we should be doing. And then we turn around and we start driving home. We're on Route 30 or wherever, and someone cuts us off or they don't use a turn signal. And we curse them. Instead of seeing them like someone who is made in the image of God, so every person is made in the image of God, right? Instead of seeing them the way that God sees them, we respond. We react. And James is like, no. This cannot be us. This is not why Jesus died on the cross, so that we could have the freedom to be going off on people and canceling people. That's not the point. And here's what Jesus says. He's in Matthew 15, 18, he says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and it defiles them. Right? And I pull all this together, right, to say, see what James is writing, what Jesus is saying, like, I don't want you to leave here today thinking, you know what, I just need to get a hold of my tongue. For you to leave here and say, you know what, I just need to get off of Facebook or off of social media. Right? I need to just stop talking. That's not the point. The point is about our hearts. And so Jesus says, whatever is coming out of your mouth is coming from your heart. And so if you just stop talking, but you haven't changed, having a change of heart, there's still bitterness and anger and rage in there, nothing's changed. And so there's, I love you guys. I want us to be so different from the rest of our community, our schools and our workplaces and our homes are experiencing from this culture. Like that your words, my words, our words are encouraging, they're life-giving, they're a tree of life. But that starts here in the changing of our hearts. And so we want to just give you five things maybe you can think about that will maybe, you know, that will change your heart, that will transform your heart. So the first one is to ask God for wisdom. So James 1:5. So I'm just going to give you five verses to go along with this, and they all come from James, right? So James writes, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. So Steve, what's that? I mean, what does it mean for you to ask? It says, ask God for wisdom. What's that mean for you?
It's been slow, I think. I think for me, the way that I've gained wisdom from God, or how He's answered that, is through His Word. I think the more that I've looked at it and studied it and paid attention to when you said, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. And I think that's where I hear God most. Mm-hmm. I think that there are times you read something and you maybe don't understand it at first, or there's some sort of new, I don't want to use not new revelation, but new insight into how that works. And I think that's why it is so important as a Christian to read your Bible, mm-hmm. read your Bible, and read your Bible, because I think that's where you gain the most wisdom.
Yeah, I agree. Yep, definitely. And then the second thing is to slow down. So we live in such a fast-paced culture, right? We're fat, go, 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 go. And we, same thing, we react so quickly. And so James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I mean, I think we can all relate to this, right? There's been a moment, there's been a situation where something happened, and man, we wanted to zing them, right? Maybe it's just me, all right? It's not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the two of us then, right? I don't know.
It's not either.
But just like James understands this, right? And this is God's word. God understands that our natural reaction is to immediately get what we think or what we want to say in there. And there's nothing wrong with when you're rooting yourself in God's wisdom to be sharing that, but it doesn't have to be the first thing, right? We don't have to zing them first, right? We need to listen very, very well. We've lost that art of listening. And so, like, for me, like, I know I have to stop. I have to take a breath, count to five or count to 10, whatever, and then have a conversation that doesn't end in canceling the other person, but sees them as someone who is made in God's image. All right, number three, think eternally, right? So James 2:12 says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. And so because we oftentimes think in the moment, what does that look like to just think eternally?
Sure. Well, one of the reasons why we came here was because I was thinking eternally. Mm. Like the idea is that you want to be in a body of Christ that shares biblical truths and doesn't compromise on those biblical truths. And so for me, that we saw that here at Charter Oak. And so, because I always, as of maybe in the last 5 or 6 years or more, you know, I always have to keep in mind that this life is temporal, that I can't hold on to all the things that are around me. I have a wonderful wife, I have a wonderful son at home and so forth and job, but this is all temporal. And someday we will stand before the eternal judge and have to give an account of our lives. And so we have to keep that in mind. I always have to remember that this is temporary and God is eternal and we are eternal. And whether way that turns out,
right.
And we want to keep presenting the gospel to get people into eternity with him.
Right, yeah. And just, I don't know if it scares us to think eternally because we know that we're not perfect.
Sure.
But the truth we should be hanging on to is the cross, right? That we don't, our salvation in Jesus is secure through faith in Jesus. I mean, we don't have to like be like, oh, if I think eternally, I'm going to have regrets, or I've done things, I've said things, or whatever. And so I just don't want to think like that. So I'm just going to think in the moment, right? And actually, we need to.
That's probably when we'll be canceled the quickest.
Right. All right, number four, never speak evil. James 4:11 says, my brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. And so this is what I said earlier. Like, it's perfectly okay to disagree, right? It doesn't mean that you hate them. It's all right to have differing opinions, but we do so with grace and with truth and with love, right? And so if we think we have to attack somebody, like to get our point across, we're probably not going down the right road, a road that honors God and sees that person as someone who's made in the image of God.
I was just clearing my throat.
Oh, okay. All right, then the last one is, this is never grumble. Someone left the 9 o'clock service and she said, I started grumbling as soon as the sermon was over. I'm sorry. I was like, thank you for your honesty. I'd like to know what you were grumbling about. But, so James 5:9 says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And here's the thing. So we look at grumbling, I think, as a respectable sin, right? So we kind of, oftentimes we elevate some sins.
Yeah,
and
right. We put sins like homosexuality, child molestation, things like that, and we forget about things like just sarcastic put-downs, which is probably my biggest thing, you know? Like, I kind of thought your name had to be Steve and you had to go to IUP to be up here on the stage. And somehow, to me, that seems like a little bit of a sarcastic put-down.
Right.
So those are things I think we forget about those, and those are right. The stingers. Those are the things, right. That's the pitchfork
right.
that you're
yes.
putting at people.
Right. And so what happens when the noise of this world drowns out the voice of God? Right? Because that's what I think it happens, right? In these acceptable, respectable sins, because, oh, they're not that bad. I'm not as bad as, and we compare ourselves to other people and all that kind of stuff, and it's just like, no, like, that's not, they're not the standard. Right? God's word is the standard, and that's what we're, striving for and aspiring to live like that. And so to say never grumble like that, for me personally, that's a significant challenge for me to think through that lens that I'm never, like, not on just on Sundays, but I mean like every day, all the time, don't grumble, right? And so what I'm hoping that's happening through this conversation and reading through this third chapter of James is that, you know, grace and truth, right? So the truth of the matter is that all of us are sinners. We're all broken. We've all done things. We've all said things. And we realize, I want you to realize, because, you know, through your words, through my words, just the depth of our sin, right? And the pollution that it causes in our hearts. But at the same time, because of that, we're sprinting to the cross. Right, we're screaming or we're calling out to our Heavenly Father, mercy, grace, would you forgive me? Would you set me free from this vile stuff that I don't want coming out of my mouth, but it does. And the hardness of my heart. And here's the good news in Romans 10, 8 to 10. Paul writes, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and your heart and in your heart. That is a message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Like, this is the gospel. This is the gospel for you. Like, this is like what happens when we begin to live out the gospel in our everyday, ordinary lives. It's not behavior modification that happens to you. Like, when you give your life by faith in Jesus, like, you begin to get transformed from the inside out. The Bible says you are born again. You get a new heart and a new life. And so if we're going to do over the next 2 weeks what Pastor Steve was inviting us to do and serve in our community and invite people over to our house, what are they going to experience from us? What are you and I, like, when we do this, like, if we were to go to any of our neighbors and ask them, what's Charter Oak Church known for? What are the people who go to Charter Oak Church that live in your neighborhood, what are they known for? Are we more known for what we're against or what we're for? How do people see us? How do people experience us? That if we're going to throw a backyard barbecue, will people be like, oh, I don't want to go over there? They're like, oh. They're the most encouraging, loving, grace-filled people that don't compromise what they believe. What will they experience from you? What will they experience from me? Because we're called to be disciple makers. Like, that's what we want to be. Like, we want to reach out to people who are searching, and we want to equip them to become disciples. Like, we're going to see their lives transformed so they'd be followers of Jesus. That's the call upon all of us. We'll never do it as long as we're holding the pitchfork. We'll only be able to do that whenever we take up the towel and we serve and we make a difference in people's lives. It's up to us to live out the gospel with grace and with truth. Full of grace, full of truth. In a culture that is canceling people for whatever reason, for whatever they believe, whatever they do, or whatever, that instead we'd be people of the towel. People who genuinely love and seek to live with a new heart, a transformed heart, a born-again heart that loves people and cares for people and points them to Jesus. Let's pray. Grace Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words from James. God, I know they're sometimes hard to hear. They're really hard to live into. I think oftentimes, God, we're being shaped more by culture than we are by your word, God, and I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry when I'm more known for what I'm against than what I'm for. That whenever I just, out of the hardness of my heart, I walk away from relationships and people that you love and that you sent your son Jesus to die for. So God, I pray for all of us here today, God, and online. That Father, you would begin to do a work in our heart and transforming our heart and changing us and transforming us. Then our goal today wouldn't be just behavior modification. I'm just going to hold my tongue, but that we're operating out of a new heart. This surrender to Jesus. And so, Father, we surrender ourselves to you, our words, our attitudes, our actions. God, would you work in us and through us and refine us and shape us and mold us to be like Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Steve. Great job, Steve.
Thank you for listening to this message from Charter Oak Church. If you want to listen to a message from this series or from a past series, be sure to check out our website, charteroak.church, and click the Sermons tab, or you can also find the sermons in the Charter Oak Church app. Until next week, God bless, and have a great week, everyone.